Welcome to the most listened to golf in the world, the Fairways of Life show, on air, online, and around the world. With the most candid interviews, unforgettable stories, taking you beyond the ropes. Here's your host, New York Times best-selling author and Golf Channel's Matt Adams.
And it's a delight to welcome you into the Fairways of Life show. It is the start of the PGA show week, and we've got so much planned for you. We're going to be live this week from the PGA show. That'll be Wednesday when we'll actually be in the convention hall, but we'll have content throughout. In fact, coming up a little bit later on in today's program, we're going to go deep into one of the new drivers out on the marketplace. And there seems to be a dark theme with a lot of the products coming out this year. This one's going to be called Dark Ops. We'll get into the details of the same. What a historic week just wrapped up on the PGA Tour. We go from one desert to another between the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. And the PGA Tour, we saw Nick Dunlap win as the first amateur to win on the PGA Tour in more than 3 decades. I'll give you some details of the same coming up. Rory McIlroy won on the DP World Tour at the Dubai Desert Classic, and it was the fourth time that he won out on the DP World Tour. So for Rory McIlroy, he too making his own slice of history with that. And then at the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions, Lydia Ko etched her 20th win on the LPGA. Maybe Lydia Ko really finding that form again. What type of year could lie in store for her? And then, of course, some bad news, too, over the last few days. Jackie Burke Jr., a World Golf Hall of Fame member, an absolute legend in the game, he passed away at the age of 100 years young, only a few days from his 101st birthday. First to Nick Dunlap, what he did was so significant. He was playing on a sponsor's exemption. It was actually his fourth start on the PGA Tour. The 2023 U.S. Amateur Champion ended up winning by one stroke to become the first amateur to win on tour since Phil Mickelson did it at the 1991 Northern Telecom Open. Amateurs to win on the PGA Tour, this is since 1940. Nick, of course, at the American Express. Phil Mickelson is mentioned at the Northern Telecom. Scott Verplank won the 1985 BMW Championship. Doug Sanders, the 1956 RBC Canadian Open. Gene Littler, the 1954 Farmers Insurance Open. Frank Stranahan at the 1948 Miami Open. He did it at the 1945 Durham War Bonds Tournament. Dr. Kerry Middlecoff at the 1945 North and South Championship. Fred Haas at the 1945 Memphis Invitational. At 20 years, 29 days, he becomes the youngest amateur, does Nick, to win on the PGA Tour since Chick Evans at the 1910 Western Open, who did it at 20 years, 1 month, and 15 days. He becomes the second youngest winner on tour since the Second World War. The youngest was Jordan Spieth at the 2013 John Deere Classic. He becomes the first reigning U.S. amateur champion that went on tour since Tiger Woods did it in 1996. He's the first sponsor's exemption to win on tour since Martin Laird did that at the 2020 Shriners Children's Open. In his three prior tour starts, he missed the cut. His third round 60 tied the lowest round by an amateur in tour history. The other was Patrick Cantlay at the 2011 Travelers Championship. Patrick did that in the second round. Nick becomes the first amateur to hold a 54 lead or co-lead on the PGA Tour since Paul Dunn did it at the 2015 Open, which of course was at the old course of St. Andrews. With the victory, he is eligible to accept PGA Tour membership at any time during the 2024 season and receive a PGA Tour winner's exemption, which includes membership on the PGA Tour through 2026, exemptions into all of this year's signature events, provided he turns pro before those events, obviously, the Masters and the PGA Championship. He also qualifies for the Century in 2025. Currently, he does have exemptions into the Masters, the U.S. Open, and the Open by virtue of winning the 2023 Amateur. If he turns professional, he will still be exempt into the Masters and the PGA Championship and the U.S. Open as a PGA Tour winner. He would have to qualify for the Open this year at Royal Troon. If he does not turn professional and therefore does not accept PGA Tour membership, he can still participate in full field events out of the tournament winners category and will play under a non-members regulation. If memory serves me, I believe he has 12 opportunities to do the same. Earl Forsey and Mark McCumber were hosting our coverage on PGA Tour Radio this past week. Gents, what a week. What a weekend. It was so exciting, and we get to see history right before our eyes.
Matt, thanks. Wow, what a weekend. What a story this week at the American Express in La Quinta, California. Mark McCumber, 10-time PGA Tour winner, Players Champion, Tour Champion, was alongside Mark. Pretty impressive that the kid from the University of Alabama wins it. An Amateur winner for the first time since Phil in 1991 on the PGA Tour. Nick Dunlap wins the American Express in impressive fashion, losing the lead Sunday and then getting it back and holding off some of the best players in the game to get it done.
It's an incredible story. I mean, this young man showed not only a great game, the first 2 days he played flawless golf. It was the lowest 36-hole, lowest 54-hole total ever in this tournament. He ended up breaking the all-time American Express tournament record at 29 under par. But I'll tell you what, I was impressed with the way he won. He made a great comment afterwards, Earl, that he didn't know what to expect today, whether he'd win easily or shoot a bad score. He just wanted to go out and play, and that's what he did. But at the very end of this tournament, after having a real disaster on the seventh hole and, you know, spit up the lead, he won with his heart on the last hole. I mean, that par, that up and down, the putt he made, he is going to be a future star in this game, no question about it.
Well, and you got one of your wins, your signature win, the Players Championship, one of them, along with the Tour Championship, but the Players Championship on a Pete Dye Stadium course, the Players Stadium course at TPC Sawgrass, and the back nine on Sunday, the Pete Dye Stadium course at PGA West was a handful, wasn't it?
It is, and it's nerve-wracking, and that's what Pete wanted. He'd be smiling if he were at the course right now, because he always told me, Mark, I love to test you, the best players in the world, mentally and physically, and it's not always with long holes. The last two holes here aren't long, but there's water. There's an island. You saw what happened to Sam Burns, one of the best young players on tour. It got the best of him, but it did not get the best of this young amateur, Nick Dunlap. A good solid par on 17 and a great par on 18. It's not easy to finish off a tournament anywhere, and the nerves are jumping, you're sped up, but boy, he just did it all right. It was just so exciting to see.
So what about the other two in the final group Sunday, Justin Thomas and Sam Burns? Justin Thomas had a good back nine, but kind of fell off the pace early, hit a couple of shots, par fives in the water, so it wasn't sharp for him, and then Sam Burns with the lead. Tee shot in the water at 17 and 18. Boy, it's not the way they wanted to finish Sunday, is it?
No, it isn't. I understand the 18. He's trying to force a drive down there, a fairway metal down the left side, knowing that if he made birdie, it would keep him honest. But Zadenhout did it ahead of him when he got to 28 under. That put the pressure right back on Nick Dunlap. Who would have believed a person just a few weeks ago who was a teenager, a sophomore in college, would go out against 20 wins between the two guys he's playing with? They're both young, two major championships, and he would best them. But isn't that why we watch sports? You just never know. And the ending today was storybook. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, drama and a storybook ending. And we had both here this weekend. Stay in California next week to Torrey Pines for the Farmers Insurance Open. But what a way to start the California swing, Matt, with Alabama sophomore Nick Dunlap, an amateur, getting a win on the PGA Tour at the American Express.
Very, very impressive indeed. So too was the work by your entire team. Thank you for that at PGA Tour Radio. You can hear PGA Tour Radio week in and week out on the PGA Tour app. You can hear it on PGAtour.com or if you subscribe to the National Satellite Service, Sirius XM. So for Nick Dunlap, where Mark was talking about the disaster on 7, it was a double bogey at the par 4 7th. He posted a 6 there. Think about that for a second. Not only is he an amateur, but he overcame a double bogey on his opening nine to still come back with victory. Very, very impressive indeed. That final leaderboard that he stood atop of saw Christian Mazeidenhout finish in second place, a shot back at 28 under par. Weekend rounds of 65 and 65 for Mazeidenhout. And as a result, of course, because Dunlap is an amateur, Mazeidenhout ends up getting the winner's check. Mazeidenhout's second place finish of 28 under par is his second career runner-up finish on the PGA Tour. He finished in the same position at the 2022 John Deere Classic. He owns four career top 10 finishes on tour and 76 starts. He eagled the par 4 16th hole from 138 yards, his second longest hole out on tour. Congratulations to him. Indeed. Now, going from desert to desert for Rory McIlroy, remember, he let it go the week before. But at the Dubai Desert Classic, he was able to hold on for his 17th European Tour victory. He has 24 PGA Tour wins, four major championships. He's a seven-time European Ryder Cup member. Rory McIlroy is 34 years old. So if we cast back the currents of time, then we can ask the question of Rory McIlroy, what was it like when you were a kid? When you were able to see the stars of the game out there, think about when you were inside the ropes and you were following one, Tiger Woods.
You know, the first Desert Classic, I took a media credential and I walked inside the ropes to follow Tiger and Ernie and Thomas Bjorn, I think. And then just to think about the even the arc of that, Thomas Bjorn was my Ryder Cup captain. I ended up buying Ernie Els' house. I've become really good friends with Tiger Woods. It's like, it's just amazing to think back on the last 18 years and sort of where I find myself.
Pretty impressive from Rory McIlroy with where he finds himself. We're going to hear more from Rory McIlroy coming up in the segment that lies in store. Tomorrow, we're going to hear in depth from Nick Dunlap, too. And Lydia Ko won on the LPGA, as I mentioned earlier, as we got started here this morning. We're going to be hearing from Lydia Ko coming up in the next couple of days. And a closer look at the career and the legend that was Jackie Burke Jr. It all lies in store on the Fairways of Life show, which is presented by the PGA Tour Superstore, the number one golf retailer from coast to coast. Find your happy place at the PGA Tour Superstore.
Relax.
Easy now. Find your happy place. The PGA Tour Superstore. It's all in the hips. Where every swing is possible. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find all the latest gear, apparel, and personalized club fittings.
Is this goodbye?
We've only just begun.
Shop with the pros at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it.
I think I'm going to go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're going to need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to BoyneGolf.com.
As we welcome you back to the Fairways of Life show, hope you guys are doing well. Yeah, coming up, we're going to talk about some of the equipment that definitely be making some noise, if it isn't already, in the world of golf in 2024. We've got a lot of stuff to go through. You know, last week we got a little glimpse of it when we went to the PGA Tour Superstore Training Summit, particularly when we got a chance to see the QI10 from TaylorMade. I thought that was pretty cool and that you guys would enjoy that. I have seen the Dark Speed driver, Cobra's new driver. I'm really impressed with it. Really impressed with it. Even last year, their driver. So it's kind of built on that same chassis. But that's one. If we get a chance, I'll feature that one for you here. But we'll be doing the show tomorrow from in studio here. Then in the afternoon, I'll head to Demo Day where we have the outdoor experience where people attending the PGA show can actually hit the product, and we'll be live on Golf Channel. Dom, do you remember what time? Dom's in studio with me. Do you remember what time that we're on Golf Channel tomorrow? He's looking it up. So it's, if memory serves me, I think it's around noontime, but I'll have the time for you tomorrow when we're broadcasting. So, you know, if you want to see it, cause you'll be able to see some of the product. Dom did confirm that it is noontime that we'll be on from the demo day. And then, like I said, Wednesday onward will be inside of the convention hall. And we'll go over the airtimes with you on all that, too, so that you, because our airtimes vary a little bit over the next few days. And those, the variance in airtimes is primarily because of my Golf Channel broadcasting of the event from there, too. So we've got a couple of different ways that you can take it all in. And we expect that before the week is wrapped up, that we're going to have a big announcement for you guys. That will impact our future with the Fairways of Life show that we're very excited to share with you. I won't change anything about the way that you can consume the show and where and all that, but we're really excited about what lies in store. Surely Rory McIlroy is excited about the fact that he was able to start 2024 with a victory in January. Now, it's been happy hunting grounds for Rory McIlroy in the desert in Dubai. And once again, he was able to close the deal. Consider the fact, though, that he was 10 shots off the pace after Saturday. How Rory was able to bring it all together in order to claim his victory in the desert? Well, we start with asking him first and foremost, though, how do you feel?
You know, I was saying in an interview earlier that the arc of my career and Dubai in general have sort of like tracked each other pretty consistently along the way. I remember my first Desert Classic in 06 as an amateur staying what seemed like out in the desert at this point. And it's probably like only 10 minutes away now, if it's so built up, but just to think like 18 years ago and what it meant to come here and play in this event, to be sitting here, you know, having won it four times and, you know, all the great experiences that I've had in Dubai and the friends that I've met and the, you know, everything sort of along the way. It's always been a place where I come back to and reminisce about my career because I really feel like it's where everything started. So it's amazing to sit here and, you know, the first Desert Classic, I took a media credential and I walked inside the ropes to follow Tiger and Ernie and Thomas Bjorn, I think. And then just to think about even the arc of that, Thomas Bjorn was my Ryder Cup captain. I ended up buying Ernie Els's house. I've become really good friends with Tiger Woods. It's like, it's just amazing to think back on the last 18 years and sort of where I find myself. So I certainly don't take anything for granted. And I always appreciate the opportunity to be able to do what I do. And yeah, it feels amazing to sit here and have won that big coffee pot 4 times. Yeah, I think so. I think, look, Augusta's still a long way away in golfing terms. A lot can change in, you know, 2.5 months. But it's always nice to get a win. It's always nice to feel like you're playing well going into it. I've always said that I'll take execution over preparation every single time, because, you know, you have to execute the golf shots, especially there. But I think last year at Augusta, I learned a lot about myself, and I learned a lot about, you know, I've told this story numerous times now about the first green on Friday, and Brooks was on the 8th green, and I saw the big leaderboard, and I was already 10 behind at that point. I was 10 behind after 2 days this week and ended up winning the golf tournament. So, you know, there's a massive, I feel like I've taken that learning already and put it into practice a little bit already. But yeah, that's a huge thing for me. But, you know, everything now is, yeah, you know, I've still got some big events to come. And but, you know, I think from now until that first or second week in April, you know, at least a part of my mind is gonna be towards getting myself absolutely ready for there. I think it would feel, if the scores on the weekend had been flipped and I shot 70-63, I'd probably be like, yeah, that was amazing. But the 70 today was, I did what I needed to do. I felt like I played a very controlled round of golf. The two birdies on 8 and 9 were huge to sort of give me that cushion going into the back nine. But yeah, the golf course definitely played a little trickier at the weekend. It was hard to get the ball very close because of how firm the greens were. And, you know, I thought even after I finished on Friday, I thought if I shot 267s over the weekend, I would have a decent chance to win. And if that had been the case, I would have tied Adrian at 13 under. So I wasn't too far away with the prediction. And thankfully, I went one better than that and ended up winning the tournament. Yeah, it's this is her first time in Dubai in 9 years, I think. So yeah, I think they've had a great time. They also love coming to Dubai and love spending time here. So we've got three of those pictures on the 18th green. They weren't here for the win last year, but it's pretty cool. I mean, 2009 to now, and those, you know, the 15 years that have passed and everything that's happened, it's still incredibly cool to be able to do those things with them. No, I mean, I like looking back and having a highlight reel on the last day. I'd rather, you know, as I said, if you flip the scores and I had the 70 yesterday and the 63 today, I'd probably be sitting here maybe a little more, not upbeat. Obviously, I won the golf tournament. I'm extremely happy. But yeah, I guess it is. There's a lot of different ways to win. And I think I've, you know, looking back at the wins that I've had, I've done it a few different ways, and some have been dramatic, some have been not so much. And today was one of those days where I think I started so well and I played that front nine so well that I didn't really have to do anything that special on the back nine just to get it home and get the thing won.
You know, the kind of stories that you share with us, you know, historical, etc., what you just shared about the first time that you came to Dubai when Tiger was there, was Thomas. How much does history and legacy, I mean, in golf in general, mean to you?
Everything. I think it's the only way to be able to compare yourself to the people that you grew up idolizing. So I grew up, not necessarily, you know, my hero was Tiger Woods. I wanted to do what Tiger did. And I'll not have the career that he's had, but, you know, I still look at the trophies that I've won, and my name is on those same trophies that his are on as well, which is, I mean, that's, I don't know a better way of quantifying success in the game as putting your name on the trophies that the people before you have put their names on. So, you know, whether it be this trophy or, you know, major championship trophies or whatever it is, like, you know, I sat up here on Wednesday and talked about like global golf and something like the Australian Open, and looking at the Stonehaven Cup, and you know, my name's on there with Peter Thompson and, you know, all the legends of the game. And I think it's just a very cool thing. You know, hopefully Michael Thorbjornsson has just won the second time as an amateur here. Hopefully in 15 or 20 years time, he's looking back and looking at the trophies that my name is on, you know, like that. I think just being able to go from one generation to the next, I don't know if there's any other sport that you can do it as much as maybe in tennis a little bit, but I just think that the generations span so long in golf that, you know, I've played in a US Open with Tom Watson, but I've also played in a US Open with Rasmus Højgaard, who's 60 years younger than Tom Watson. So I think just the generations and the length of time that you can be a pro and you can have success in golf, I think it's amazing to think about the journey and think about the players that you've played with, and you know, at the start of my career, and then the players that I'm playing with now, and just the length of time that all of those careers have spanned.
That's one of my favorite parts about the game of golf, is that you have these opportunities where you could talk about one generation to the next, but when you talk about someone like Tom Watson playing alongside of Rory McIlroy, and we hear stories like that often, where I love talking to guys that played, for example, maybe it was in the 1960s or played in the 1970s, and they happen to be playing alongside of, say, Gene Sarazen, who won his first major in 1922. Or when we get a chance to speak with players, albeit less and less now, unfortunately, but we get a chance to speak with players that played alongside of, competed against Ben Hogan or Sam Snead. Now, Sam Snead, you open up more of a wider window because he was still playing well into his 1960s and playing very, very well at that into his 1960s on tour and more. So it's really cool to share that experience. So I talked to you about the fact that what Rory did is still historic because he won for the fourth time at the Dubai Desert Classic. Here in this cut, we start with that question of how does it feel to win this event four times now?
Absolutely amazing. I feel like, you know, the arc of my career and my time in Dubai have sort of tracked each other pretty closely. It's the one region and city that I've won more than anywhere else in my professional career, and I've a fantastic connection to the area. I have a lot of friends here, and every time I come, I just have a really good feeling when I come back to Dubai. So, you know, that helps me stay relaxed and play some good golf. And I had to hold it together on the back nine there today. It was very tricky, and wasn't really thinking about trying to get my name on there for a fourth time. I was just trying to win a golf tournament, and thankfully I hit enough good shots coming down the stretch to make that happen. Yeah, a little bit. I feel like a lot of the work was done on Saturday. You know, the three rounds, but around the 63 were good. You know, I felt like I could have squeezed more out of my first two rounds, and then I definitely could have squeezed a bit more out of my round today. But the bulk of the work was done yesterday with that 63, and then, you know, it meant today I just had to go out there and play a solid round of golf, and that was enough to get it done. You know, I think people were making a bigger deal of it than I was. It was a couple of bad mistakes at inopportune times, but you know, over 72 holes, you can't look at like two instances of bad whenever the rest of it was very, very good. So I've always been I've always tried to take the positives from things, and there was way more positives than negatives last week. And that's how I, you know, came into this week with that attitude of, you know, game's in really good shape, tidy up some of the things that I saw over the last couple of days at the creek. And, you know, I was able to do that. And, you know, especially this afternoon, making the bogey on 13, just sort of, you know, tidying it up a little bit and getting in. It was important for me to do that, especially after last week. I think it's big. Getting a win early in the year is always important. I think it really, it can sort of act as a nice springboard into the rest of the year. So I knew my game was in good shape. I think getting the wins just sort of validates that you're on the right path and you're doing the right thing. So
I feel good about everything I've done over the past couple of weeks, and it's been a great start to the year, and I want to kick on from here and keep playing the way I'm playing. I still feel like there's a few things I need to improve, but every week that I play, I learn a little bit more, and hopefully I'll take the learnings from this week into the next few weeks and building up to the major season.
Rory McIlroy off his victory this week in the desert of Dubai. It was a different desert indeed, where Nick Dunlap made history winning as an amateur on the PGA Tour. First time to have done it in over three decades. The last was Phil Mickelson. You will be hearing from Nick on tomorrow's Fairways of Life show, as well as Lydia Ko. And we're going to honor the memory of Jackie Burke Jr. When we come back, we're going to dive into golf equipment. Why not give it to you in all the details that exist and get it straight from the source? It's the week to do the same. This is a start of the PGA Show week, and we've been come back. Maybe we'll get you started with some new information that will be exactly what your game needs. Stay with us.
I guess hello world, huh?
And with one subtle hello, Tiger began an amazing and unthinkable career.
I've done it for 20 years now with Bridgestone. It allows me to play an aggressive style around the greens, and it's allowed me to win a lot of tournaments.
Bridgestone Golf, proud to be part of your journey.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
I think when you're training for other sports, or why most people go to the gym is so that they can like have muscles and be strong and be healthy. And a lot of the reason why they struggle to play golf is their body doesn't move properly for them to be able to hit a golf ball. And when you're training for golf, it's a little bit different because you're focused more on flexibility and mobility and being strong in motion. When you're able to kind of have a warm up and have a workout routine and kind of gradually build up to where you're training your body to move properly, yeah, you're going to get a lot of big dividends on the golf course.
Easy now. Find your happy place. The PGA Tour Superstore. It's all in the hips. Where every swing is possible. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find all the latest gear, apparel, and personalized club fittings.
Is this goodbye?
We've only just begun.
Shop with the pros at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
What if we started a company and the company was under no time constraints, no financial constraints? The one constraint is their clubs had to be exceptional performers and much better than any other alternative. I was told time and again, it'll never work. It worked like a house of fire. And I'll tell you what, I think our customers love it. BXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Zero Friction introduces the Wheel Pro Push Cart Golf Bag with its revolutionary 3-in-1 design, supportive legs that spring into action, a comfort grip handle with three locking positions, accessories for the modern golfer enhanced by 7 pockets for more storage, and removable all-terrain wheels which slide right into place. The new Zero Friction Wheel Pro Golf Bag checks every box for every golfer. Push, carry, or cart, the decision is yours thanks to Zero Friction. Head to ZeroFriction.com today. Welcome back to the Fairways of Life show. I love this time of year. We get to see products just like this. Those are the new Black Ops clubs coming from PXG. We're going to dive into them with Brad Swigert, who is my friend over at PXG, Chief Product Officer. Brad, how have you been?
I'm great. Good morning, Matt. How are you doing?
It's great to see you. I'm really excited about what you guys have created here. PXG Black Ops driver, PXG Black Ops fairway, of which I've got the driver, I've got a 3-wood, I got a 5-wood. I haven't seen the hybrids, but we'll get into that too. The interesting message points from PXG on this one, I'm going to start with this one, Brad, because it is it's bold, and I'm very curious to dive into the hows and whys. The first bullet point that I got was complete and total victory in engineering. That's your bag. What does that all mean?
Well, I think summarizing it is to say that typically when drivers are designed, they kind of lean one way, whether it's forgiveness or distance. And we feel strongly that we found a way to kind of deliver on both of those in spades without making any sacrifices. So this really delivers both from a distance perspective and extremely forgiving. So you can really hit it all over the club face. As long as you deliver that club face somewhat square, you're going to get a really, really good result. And the consistency in distance all across the club face and direction and trajectory in terms of spin rate and ball velocity, everything that's going to create the distance, very consistent all across the club face. So but there's some technology, we can get into more details of that, that allows it to deliver from a distance perspective too. So you don't really have to make that trade-off in terms of, you know, going to a max forgiving driver and feel like you're giving up some of the distance out of the center. This thing delivers on both accords.
All right, let's get into that technology that you were referring to. First of all, I know that the face technology is an advancement for PXG. What did you do here and how were you able to do it?
Yeah, so it's a proprietary material. It's a new material that we've developed in partnership with some material experts. But it's a very unique titanium alloy. We call it AMF technology. It stands for Advanced Material Face. As you know, Bob, with his military background, he also wanted me to remind people that in the military, that AMF stands for something different, which may be applicable to golf. But you know, we always have our Bobisms, which are fun, you know, but the material itself, it's an alloy that's very unique for titanium in that a lot of titaniums, when they go stronger, they also go stiffer. And when you increase the stiffness, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't flex as much. This particular alloy, we were able to accomplish a much higher strength alloy, but with actually a lower stiffness. And so that's very unique. And that allows the face to flex and bend in conjunction with the crown and sole carbon fiber geometries that we've created. During impact, we get a lot of movement and flex in the body and in the face, and that helps launch the ball really high with low spin rate, which, you know, I think based on our testing, and I think a lot of the independent testers are starting to find out there that this driver has basically the highest launch angle that's out there for, like, say, a given 9-degree loft if you keep everything else equal.
Yeah.
But also keeps the spin rate down in the lower third of drivers that are out there. And so that combination of high launch, low spin really helps to maximize distance.
I happen to have, ironically, I have a 9-degree driver right here in front of me. And I'm gonna hold it this way just for a second. You guys can see that on camera, I believe. And Andrew is putting in a lot of beauty shots of the products. When you look down at this club, it has a really beautiful shape on it. Could you talk to us about the design philosophy and how some of these technologies tie in?
Yeah, you know, at PXG, all our designers, including myself, we're passionate golfers, so we really care about what the product looks like. It's new for us is the high gloss carbon fiber crown. We've stayed with like a matte crown in the past, but we want to do something a little unique. We think it looks really nice, but the geometry, the club shape, it has a really pleasing address position. We obviously wanted to maximize kind of the size of the driver to get that mass to the extreme perimeters and boost that moment of inertia, but we did it in a way where it still looks very pleasing behind the golf ball and sets up nice. I think people are going to love it.
Okay, so you've taken us through the face so far, Brad. You've taken us through the discussion of the crown and the fact that you, as a result of what you did with the crown, had this discernible weight that you could move to more advantageous places in the driver and how that then contributes to initial launch angle, et cetera, et cetera. I do want to get into the sole on this club because lots of times with these advanced drivers, and certainly is the case with PXG, the sole itself tells a story. What story is this sole telling?
Well, it starts with the carbon fiber insert on the sole. There's we were taking mass out of the middle of the golf club with that carbon fiber insert. It's really, carbon fiber is extremely lightweight. It's flexible, so it allows that, again, allows the face to flex even more during impact than previous models. But getting that mass to perimeter, and then the next thing you notice, obviously, with our technology is the movable weights and the position of those. So we create mass in the extreme perimeters, the heel, toe, and back, so that we can boost the inertia, but also so that we have the ability to fine tune or adjust that driver to fit an individual's needs. So we can move mass in the heel to create more draw bias. We can move it more into the toe to create more fade bias. More mass in the back is going to increase launch and make it in its kind of most forgiving setting. But we have the ability to split mass too, kind of, we make those masses in 2.5 to 20 grams and 2.5 gram increments all the way through. So our fitters, when you come in, they have the ability to customize that driver to your knees. They can go heavier, they can go lighter. There's just a lot we can do. So, 10,000 MOIs, big combined MOI of 10,000, big buzzwords this year. We have the ability to go beyond that by adding just a little bit more mass to our standard head weight. At our standard stock configuration, we're just barely under 10,000 combined MOI, but we can easily exceed that through our adjustability.
It's incredible what you were just saying. In fact, I'm going to ask you, Brad, to have an expert of your degree on the show. Could you explain to the world more about, you said it's going to be a big buzzword with MOI and getting to a threshold of 10,000, and you're telling us that you can easily exceed that. Could you explain to the world, if I may, in layman terms, what all that means?
Yeah, so MOI is an acronym also. It stands for moment of inertia. It's everything has inertia. People think of in everything that we do, every mass has a certain amount of inertia to it. It's a resistance to a body's change in motion. When we talk about moment inertia, we're talking specifically about resistance in rotation. So, when we look at it in regards to a driver, we really primarily focus on two values. So there's a moment of inertia about the vertical axis through the CG, and that's going to affect the body's resistance to rotation on heel and toe mishits. So, when you miss it heel and toe, we all can kind of relate to that, the club might twist open and you get like the adverse gear effect, which creates like draw spin. And so the higher the moment inertia, the less twisting you're going to have. So you're going to have a more consistent trajectory on those mishits, heel and toe. The other inertia that's really important is through the horizontal axis. So that's going to affect the body's rotation on high and low misses. So similarly to like heel and toe, when you hit it high, the body rotates, you get a higher launch, kind of lower spin combination. You hit it low, you get the opposite, which is never really good. It's a low launch, higher spin combination. So by increasing that moment of inertia, you can get a more stable spin and launch characteristics as you miss it up and down the face. So, obviously if you miss it high toe, you get a combination of both of those. And so the higher that you drive those values, the more stable the driver is going to be, the more consistent it's going to be on off-center strikes.
And you feel like this Black Ops driver, I guess I would say relative to anything else that's in the marketplace, but also relative to your PXG line, this is a significant step forward.
Yeah, we really drove the MOI up in the horizontal axis on this particular driver. So in a past, like our Gen 6 XF had a very high MOI about the vertical axis, so that heel toe mishits, but we increased the MOI about the horizontal axis in this one by over 25%. In their stock setting. So that's a huge gain. That brings our combined MOI just under 10,000 in its stock configuration. If you, for those of you who are, maybe familiar with like the rules of golf, the USGA does limit the MOI about the vertical axis to 5,900. So we live right close to there as well. And so it's but increasing that about the horizontal axis allows it to be much more stable. We're getting really consistent distance control and everything that goes into trajectory and all those off-center hits. One of the things that we do during our research is we test drivers, not just ours and our past ones, but also competitors, not just out of the center, but we have a 9-point position test where we hit it all over the club face. And one of the things that we look at is the overall dispersion across all those 9 points, but we also look at kind of the difference in distance from the center hits or the longest position to any, whichever position creates the shortest distance. We call that like the distance range. And this driver in our testing outperformed not only any driver we've done in the past, but every driver in the marketplace, and sometimes by huge gains. So in our test, when we set this up at 100 miles an hour and we hit pretty far around the club face, so we get a difference in distance with our driver of just around, I think it's 15 yards drop off between the center to the lowest, to the shortest distance. Some of the competitor drivers that we tested were over 36 yards of drop off in that same exact test. So, huge gain. So as consumers and as golfers, we tend to hit it, you know, at a much bigger dispersion pattern than like professionals do. So that kind of technology is going to be huge for the average consumer, allowing them to hit and get more out of their miss hits is a big performance gain for them.
Very, very cool indeed. Is this available in the marketplace right now?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
you can visit our pxg.com and take a look. You can purchase it there. You can go to any of our store locations. We have mobile fitters all over the country. You can schedule a fitting. My recommendation is to go get fit, schedule that fitting. If that is impossible, you can jump on the phone and call and talk to one of our fitting experts on the phone, and they'll walk you through the process as well.
Okay, great. So you can contact PXG through PXG.com or 844-PLAY-PXG as just two of the different options, not to mention the retail stores and the mobile fitting that Brad was talking about. Let's jump into the three-wood. I have a three-wood. I have a five-wood here. I'm going to leave it to you and to the photos, video, and graphics that we have in the hybrid because I don't have one of those yet, Brad. But if you want to take us through the fairway wood and hybrid, we can tell the world about the virtues of these also.
Yeah, so the technology in both the fairway and hybrid, there's some similarities between the technology itself. Both of them feature a much thinner face than what we had in the past, and a new face material that allows us to go thinner. Similar, like on the driver, we found that material alloy that allowed us to go stronger and flexible. With the steel alloy, it's not actually more flexible, but by thinning it out, it makes the face actually more flexible and flex more. So kind of some of this, a similar a strategy. Getting more flex out of the face to get the better launch, more optimal launch conditions. We did that in the fairway. It's 12.5% thinner. In the hybrid, it's 10.5% thinner. So both of them significantly thinner than the predecessor. That also allows us to save mass from the face, which we can distribute kind of low, move that center gravity lower. So again, with both the fairways and the hybrids, we try to combine both distance and forgiveness all together in one package. In our previous models, we had two different models, an XF and kind of a standard model. And what our goal was with its Black Ops was, let's beat it, the original model in distance and beat the XF in forgiveness. And I'm confident in that we definitely achieved kind of both of those and combined the best of both worlds into one product. And we're getting great feedback early on from players of all abilities, from the PGA Tour to all the way through to high handicappers are really enjoying these fairways and hybrids.
Brad, if we took the crown off this fairway metal, this three wood that I'm holding in my hand, what would we see underneath the hood? What did you do internally here that would contribute to the sound and to the feel, of course?
Yeah, so one of the things that we do across all our woods is we engineer sound quite a bit. We have the technology that's improved over my career is amazing in terms of like the CAD software that we use. And so one of the things we can do is we can optimize and the product for feel and sound before we even make it. And we can do it much, much faster than what we used to do in the past. We always had FEA, but it was really clunky. It took hours to run an analysis. Now we basically get real-time outputs as we make a change. And so if you look inside there, you'll see all kinds of rib geometry, structures that are designed to stiffen the geometry in certain areas. And what we're trying to achieve is create a high modal frequency, so that means a really quick vibration. We're trying to limit the amplitude, which means the kind of the loudness of it, and then shorten the duration of that vibration. So you get more of a quicker, sharper, and not too loud a sound. And so it's one of the things that we have got a lot of comments in, and it's really been designed and engineered into the product, is that the entire line from driver, fairway woods, and hybrids all feel and sound incredible. And that's part of the experience is so important, I think, with golf, is that you want to enjoy the experience, and how it feels and sound is a big part of that.
Well, you can see in my set, I have the pleasure of having PXG next to me all the time, folks, because they are a longtime partner of the Fairways of Life show, for which, Brad, we say thank you very much. More so, thank you for what you guys are doing in the golf industry. I know that you are excited about this new line called Black Ops, which is available, as he just told us, in the marketplace right now, pxg.com, or call 844-PLAY-PXG. And according to this technology and the expert's witness that he has just provided to us, you can play your very, very best off the tee, from the fairway, or from pretty much any kind of rough, from the driver to the fairway metals to the hybrids. My friend, thank you very much for your company. It's always great catching up with you. I'm sure that you guys are as excited about 2024 with this new line as we are.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Really appreciate you having me on and getting our opportunity to share our story. Hope everybody has a great day and gets a chance to get out there and try those Black Ops. I think you will be pleasantly surprised, hopefully, or just impressed with the product.
I can't wait. That opportunity for me is going to be tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Brad, all the best. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Bye.
Very much looking forward to learning more about the Black Ops from PXG. Okay, so as you guys know, on the PGA Tour, it's being defined this year very much by signature events and non-signature events, right? And the period in between these signature events, because the next signature event that we have coming up, of course, is the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. You can see that's a list of the signature events right there for 2024, the 16 of them in total, and that includes the FedEx Cup playoffs, it includes the major championships, it includes the players. So the next signature event, again, AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. So these in-between events, like this week, we're going to have the Farmers. And I can tell you, the field is pretty good. Nick Dunlap is scheduled to play this coming week. So too, Xander, Cantlay, Morikawa, Homa, Bradley, Keegan Bradley, Jason Day, Thigala, all are scheduled to play this coming week. But from these in-between events, they have what they call the Aeon Swing 5. And what this is all about is the Swing 5 are about the players who have done enough in the in-between events to earn their way into the signature event. The top finishers who are not otherwise already exempt are the players that would benefit from the same. Here you can see who I'm talking about. Grayson Murray, who's going to be in all of them anyway because he's a winner this season. A winner in the season that you win, you're going to get into all the rest of the signature events. Zadenhout, second. Justin Thomas, there you see, third. Kevin Yu, Carl Yuan. All of those right now are currently on pace for the Swing 5, but this week in the Farmers will definitely play a part in determining the actual number of who will be moving on to play in the next signature event, as I mentioned again, out at Pebble Beach. Super excited about the week that lies in store. I'm excited about tomorrow and you guys getting to hear directly from Nick Dunlap, given the fact that we just watched him etch history in the world of golf. Lydia Ko back in the winner's circle again. I'd like to hear from her. She did it at what is now her home club at Lake Nona. And I'm looking forward to honoring the memory of an absolute legend and a World Golf Hall of Fame member in Jackie Burke Jr., who died at the age of 100 years young, only a few days from his 101st birthday. I say to my boys all the time, do what you love to do. Because even if you don't have a rich, full life, just like Jackie Burke Jr. had, you'll enjoy every day along the way. And he certainly had a lot of days to enjoy, and we were the better for it. So we'll talk about that on tomorrow's show. We'll also take a look forward as the week progresses to the Farmers, and we're going to fill every minute that we possibly can around all of that with the equipment from the PGA show. Can't wait to jump into that in earnest as well. Hope your week is a great one. Until we are together again, be well and goodbye for now.